We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And the big news from One Bills Drive today, the trade. The Bills acquiring wide receiver Mike Williams from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the trade. Reportedly a six-round draft pick that goes Tampa Bay's way in exchange for Mike Williams, the Buffalo native, Riverside High School product, Syracuse University product. And that's why we are on the line now with a guy who has covered the Orange for the last several years, Brent Axe from Syracuse.com and ESPN Radio in Syracuse, and our former partner on the Bills broadcast here in Buffalo. Brent, good to be with you. How are you doing tonight?
Always great to talk to you, Murph. Doing great, man.
We appreciate you coming on the show tonight. Were you surprised that Mike Williams, after his history with Doug Marrone, is going to be back in play for Doug Marrone?
Very surprised. You know, even in a world of the NFL, where it's a business, and sometimes you're going to take a chance on somebody that may have a couple, you know, marks on the resume that aren't very flattering, a couple red flags. You know, things didn't end well with Doug and Mike at Syracuse. You know, Mike was somebody who had violated some team rules. And, you know, you got to remember, Murph, when Doug took over here in Syracuse in 2009, you know, there was a big transition in the program, and he had certainly made it known that there was a number of players on the Syracuse roster that just weren't going to fit in with what he did. He was a little more strict than his predecessor, Greg Robinson. And, you know, Mike Williams made it through that transition, but there were still a few rough patches, and then that all came to a head when, you know, Mike was kicked off the team in 2009. There was, you know, stories that it went both ways, that he quit, but, you know, really, you know, I say tomato, you say tomato. That came to the end of the road one way or the other. So to hear today that they're going to get back together, knowing that Mike still has some issues going on right now, it's a big surprise to me. But at the same time, you know, maybe Mike and Doug had a connection there. There was a lot of production when Mike played for Doug in that one year they were together in 2009, and maybe a return home to Buffalo is what Mike needs right now.
Well, you talk about the trouble in 2009 and the years preceding that under Greg Robinson. Mike Williams on the field was outstanding, really, right? The 24 catches, 4 touchdowns first year, all Big East second team in his second year. The guy could play, and he was getting better and better, it seems, his first few years down there at SU.
There's no question, Murph. He was one of the best receivers I've ever seen at Syracuse. Physically, he could just get up and get those jump balls, always open, tough to cover. Physically, you know, as promising a receiver as I've seen here. If you glance at the Syracuse receiving records, you'll see his name pop up there a lot. And had he finished out 2009, he would own a few of those records. So the talent was unquestioned. He was up for the Blitnikoff Award in that 2009 year, which goes to the best receiver in the country. So he presents the ultimate enigma that is presented to a coach about somebody that, you know, maybe didn't take school as seriously as he should have. He, you know, is documented that he cheated on a test in 2008 and struggled academically, but was such a force athletically that, you know, you would do everything you could to keep him in line and keep him on the team. But physically, in terms of the type of player he was, no question, one of the best receivers I've ever seen at Syracuse, let alone the last, you know, several years.
As a player, I don't know what it is about him, Brent, but I mentioned this to Coach Marrone when I passed him in the hall today. Mike Williams listed as 6'2", 212 pounds now, but to me he seems to play almost bigger than that. Would you agree?
That's a perfect way to put it. You know, when you see highlights of Mike Williams and then you look at the stats, usually they inflate the stats. You know, a player's maybe a little bigger, then you know, they put the stats a little bigger than he is. It's the opposite of Mike Williams. You look at his numbers, you're like, he's only 6'2". He's just long, and he can get those jump balls and stretch out for plays over the middle. And, you know, when he was healthy, you know, you're talking about a guy that had, you know, 60 catch, just over 700-yard seasons. He had a hamstring injury that kept him off the field for Tampa Bay last year. But the way you said it is perfect, and that's how he played here at Syracuse. And it was even more emphasized in college because, you know, certainly he was a man among boys, even at you know, big-time college athletics. But he even does that in the NFL, which is amazing to think when you talk about, obviously, you know, the best athletes in the world playing the National Football League. But it's stunning when you look at his numbers because he plays so much bigger than that. It's a perfect way to put it.
You know, Brent, I was thinking today about the day he was drafted, fourth round, 4 years ago in 2010. And I remember at the time thinking and even asking Mike Williams about it. He was here in Buffalo when he was drafted. His draft stock was unquestionably hurt because of all the off-field issues. He probably would have been, what, a second or third rounder at least, huh?
Oh, no question about it. I think even first round, and, you know, it depends on team need and all those things. But it was that off-field stuff that hurt him. But people still took a chance on him. And, you know, Tampa Bay got a lot of production out of him for a few years. But We saw the off-field pattern continue, unfortunately. We've certainly heard the headlines lately, and, you know, there is a little bit of a track record there for Mike. You know, that we know about the stabbing incident. There's a DUI. There's a damage that he caused to a rental property. There's a partying lifestyle that has kind of been documented in some stories, and a story of how he knocked the door off the hinges in a domestic incident. And, you know, it's unfortunate because Mike is, you know, when you talk to him, he is a pretty engaging kid. And, you know, he's somebody that when you get to know him a little bit, you root for, but just kind of seems to slip a little bit here and there. So, you know, for Doug Marrone and Doug Whaley and the Bills to give him a chance here, you know, I think is interesting because I think they are kind of leaning on the fact that, you know, maybe the leverage is going the other way. If this pattern continues, he's going to find himself out of the league. But if they give him a chance to make it good at home and give him a chance at a team that obviously has a need at the position, and if they can strike an emotional chord here with reuniting him with a college coach that, you know, they had their ups and downs, but certainly had some production on the football field together, then maybe that can start Mike back on the right path and to where we saw, you know, a receiver get a six-year, $40 million contract out of Tampa Bay before things slipped off a little bit the past couple of years.
You know, Brent, in the Twitter-driven world of the NFL, as soon as this trade was announced, there were many people who said, amazing, Doug Marrone ran him off the team at Syracuse, now he's coaching him. But you dug up a pretty interesting article from the fine columnist Bud Poliquin from a couple of years ago, really, that shows that there are no hot feelings. In fact, Mike Williams, the quote is, if I saw him on the street talking about Marrone, I'd give him a big hug.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that, you know, Mike let bygones be bygones. And in 2010 was his, you know, first year in the league. And, you know, Poliquin had those quotes from him saying, you know, what you said, that I would, you know, I'd give him a hug, I'd call him coach. He also talked about how he'll always have love for Syracuse in that, you know, column. And, you know, that's what I think is a little bit unfortunate to look back on that now, because he seemed to be turning the page then, but kind of slipped back into some old habits. But it's encouraging for what we're hearing today. And you go back and you look at these things, and, you know, I think it's encouraging to know that there are no grudges there between him and Doug Marrone, because there certainly was in 2009. It didn't end well. That was, you know, I mean, Doug really took a stand. He was far and away the best player on that team. I bet you if Doug really pushed the issue, he could have kept him around in some way, shape, or form. Now, again, Mike, you know, wanted to leave the team, and things kind of came to a head there, but you know, that was quite a statement for Doug to make then, to clean up the program. He had to reestablish respect for Syracuse football, and in that case, he had to do it in getting rid of his best player. So to know that there is a clean slate then and there's a clean slate now, you got to hope as a Bills fan that that just leads to good things, and not only for Mike but for the team, and that this is a risk worth taking. And, you know, Murph, I think this signals something good for this front office, that they're willing to take a chance on somebody like this, knowing that there is a little history there, but they're hoping that they can make that water under the bridge and hopefully go forward in a positive manner.
And when you talk about Coach Marrone trying to make a statement, Brent, I think back to last year in his first year here in Buffalo, where at the end of the year, he I think, was attempting to make a statement with a couple of kind of well-publicized benchings. I think that's his M.O., trying to get the attention of a young team and letting them know that what went on and what slid by in the past won't go anymore.
There's no question about that. He did that at Syracuse. Now, he had to in those first years because Greg Robinson was so laid back as a coach, and things kind of, you know, not only went off the rails in terms of, you know, wins and losses. I mean, he was 10-37 as a head coach, but things went, you know, a little loose on the discipline manner. And Doug, you know, really had to come in and tighten that ship up for, you know, 2 years. And then in the final 2 years of his career, he had a little bit more of a connection, a little bit more of a relationship with the players, but still, you knew he was in charge. He ran Syracuse football as if he was pretty much the CEO of the program, and I think he's taken that approach to Buffalo. You know, you have to be a little different on a professional level. You know better than anybody, Murph, dealing with NFL players every day. You can't do it the same way in college, but, you know, Marrone is not afraid to send a message with playing time if you are not fitting what he feels you need to in terms of how hard you work and earning a spot and what you bring to the table. He's not afraid to shut that down, no matter your talent level. And that strikes right back to what he did with Mike when, you know, he was the best player on a Syracuse team that really needed him on the field.
Do you recall, was Rob Moore there with Marrone that first year at Syracuse, Brent?
No, they just missed each other. Rob Moore came in the year after Mike Williams left. But it certainly can't hurt that you have a Syracuse guy as head coach, a Syracuse guy as wide receiver coach, and now a Syracuse guy as wide receiver trying to, you know, make that connection again.
All right. It'll be interesting to see. Brent, we appreciate you taking the time. Good to talk with you. Stay in touch.
Murph, always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks for having me.
Brent X, who covers the Syracuse Orange for Syracuse.com and ESPN Radio in Syracuse, talking about the Bills' acquisition today of receiver Mike Williams. He's reunited with head coach Doug Marone. We've got more to come. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.